Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Luke 6, verses 32 through 38. This is a reading from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain as a part of his ministry in the Galilee. Here begins the reading. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. The word of God for the people of God.
This Sunday, we begin a sermon series based on Les Misérables, a musical that most of us know about. Maybe some of us have had the opportunity to hear it in a recorded fashion. Maybe some of us have had the opportunity to see it live, either locally or in another town. Maybe you remember your first experience with this musical. When I was a teenager, I was largely unaware of musical theater until The Phantom of the Opera. And the story was exciting. And it was a musical that had drums in it, which I liked. It's a musical that I went and saw a number of times, and it touched me. It helped me to realize that I really did enjoy musical theater. But the first musical theater production that really touched my soul was Les Mis. That really helped me see something bigger than me in the universe. It wasn't just a fantastic story. It wasn't just compelling characters. There was something more. I wonder how this musical affected you the first time you heard it, saw it, experienced it. Maybe it was something that touched your soul. Maybe it was something that helped you see something bigger than you in the world, a calling, perhaps. Maybe a light shining in darkness. As we journey through Les Mis each week, for the most part, we'll look at a particular character, maybe their arc throughout the story of the musical. Today we'll talk about the lead character, Jean Valjean. Other weeks we'll talk about Fantine, we'll talk about Marius and Cosette, we'll talk about Les Amis, right, the French revolutionaries. The last week we'll do something a little bit different, but don't worry, we'll get there. Today I'd like to focus on Jean Valjean. Now, I don't know if your experience with this story is particularly through the musical. That's my primary experience. I tell you, I tried to read Hugo's novel. I really did. And it's just a lot. I did pretty well, but it's a lot. And so please understand that I'm coming from the context of the musical. If you read the novel, fabulous. There are many things that are exactly the same, a few things that are not. But I would also suspect that most of us come to this story through the musical rather than the novel. Is that a fair assessment? So Jean Valjean, we are introduced to him as he is in prison. We are introduced to him among his fellow prisoners as they labor, as they work. There are lines from the various prisoners, all reminding them of their social status, with two words: look down. Look down. A couple of times I've drawn the illustration about sometimes our grief causes us to adopt this body language where we can't look up. And I wonder if being enslaved, as these prisoners are, causes that same sense. Plus, the rigid authoritarianism of the prison guards. Look down. Look down. And these prisoners will say, I'm standing in my grave. Look down. Look down. One prisoner has the nerve to say, sweet Jesus, hear my prayer. And another responds, sweet Jesus doesn't care. This is the context for these prisoners, and particularly for Jean Valjean. Now, in this opening sequence, it's a good day for Jean Valjean. It's his parole day. And one of the guards, I imagine a fairly young guard, comes to Jean Valjean and says, it's your lucky day, you're being paroled today. You know what that means? Valjean says, yes, it means I'm free. No. The guard tells him, no. It means you get this yellow piece of paper that constantly tells people you're a criminal. The guard, his name is Javert, we'll talk about Javert in this series. The guard won't even use Valjean's name. Only calls him by his prison number, 24601. Valjean doesn't understand. He's free. He gets to go. And just for that moment, he stops looking down and he sees the potential of the sunrise on the horizon. He goes and he gets a job as a day laborer. But at the end of the day, when he goes to collect his wages, he shows that yellow paper and he's dismissed with a fraction of the pay. And Valjean is destitute. Valjean, who was imprisoned for stealing some bread because his sister and his sister's child were hungry, was imprisoned for 5 years for stealing bread, and another 14 because he tried to escape. Valjean has been beaten down by the system. And then when he gets out, when he has the nerve to not look down and to look at the horizon, when he has the audacity to begin to feel a little bit hopeful, he is reminded again of his place as a criminal, because there is no room for grace. He looks at the world and he describes the world as one that has always hated him. And there is no room for grace. As Jesus speaks on a plane in the Gospel of Luke, he asks us, if you love those who love you, why should you be commended? If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Just like everybody. The worst people on earth do those things. Why should you be commended? But if you go beyond, if you show grace, not because you will get some sort of reward, if you show grace and compassion, not because it will be shown back to you, but simply because it is what you are called to do, Jesus from the plain says, then you are acting like the children of God. When I think about Valjean's story, I think about the dozens and dozens and dozens of people that I have known who've lived on the street. I think about the many, many, many stories I've heard about the world, the way the world has beaten them down. When I hear Valjean's accusation at the world that has always hated him, I hear echoes of those words in the stories of the people I know who have lived on the streets. And when I think of the story of Valjean, who in a surprise moment is offered hospitality and grace by a bishop in a nearby town, it doesn't surprise me that Valjean says, I'm going to take what I can. This man known as the bishop welcomes Jean Valjean. Let me feed you. Let me give you something to eat. Honestly, I imagine the familiar story that we've talked about a couple of times recently, where a father welcomes his son and says, here, wear this ring, wear this robe, let me kill the fatted calf. Is that what this bishop does? Valjean sings, he let me have the lion's share. The silver in my hand was twice what I had earned. And so Valjean waited for the dead of night, and he took that silver. And he ran. Because the world had treated him so poorly, what possible reason would he have to do anything other than take what he could because he could? And with the good work of law enforcement, he is captured. And he lies to them, of course, to the police. Oh, the bishop gave me this silverware. And so they bring him to the bishop. Are you really saying that the bishop gave you this silver? Do you know how the bishop responds? That's right. And maybe that's all the bishop had to have said. Sure, I gave him that silver. Oh, let him go. You're fine. And he said those things, but do you know what he said in addition? Oh, but my friend, my
brother, yes, of course I gave you that silverware, but you left in such a hurry. You forgot I also gave these candlesticks that are worth remarkably more. Not only did the bishop lie to the police so that Valjean wouldn't get arrested, he gave him more. It's like when somebody asks for the shirt off your back. Give him your robe too. When somebody asks you to walk a mile, walk too. The bishop gives him even more. And the bishop puts a requirement on it. Now, sometimes when we see folks who are struggling, we might want to support them, but we might put something on it. I'll give you this, but you have to do this for me, and you have to do that for me, and you have to do this other thing, and you have to meet these benchmarks. And that's not what the bishop does. He asks for something. But he asks for something that I suggest is both harder and more profound. The bishop says, take it. Take it all. Take the silverware that you stole and take these incredible candlesticks and use them to change your life and become an honest man. And Valjean has to face a choice. If you go to your favorite music provider, if you have a record or CD, this song takes place called Valjean's Soliloquy, where he wrestles with what is he going to do? How is he going to respond? In one moment, Valjean says, "You say that I have a soul." How does he know? See, Valjean is wrestling so deeply with the very core of his identity, in part because he has been taught by the world that it is take and take and take. And suddenly someone gives, and it shakes his perception. And Valjean makes a choice. He makes a choice to use what has been given to turn his life around, to do a different thing. You see what Valjean does? He receives grace, and he responds. Friends, for as long as I've been here, it's been an essential part of my message that the time that we worship together is a time that we can experience God's grace. Will we respond? This is the question that Valjean faces. Will he respond? And he does. He turns his life around. Yes, he fakes his identity. He becomes a factory owner. He is appointed as the mayor of a town called Montreuil. But it turns out through the story that Valjean continues to be faced with choices. Am I going to do the right thing or the easy thing? He continues to be faced with choices. When a young woman is found to be with child out of wedlock, when she has to turn to crime and even prostitution to support her child, when she is hospitalized, all around the same time that Valjean's built and secret identity is revealed, he has to face a choice. Will he care for this young woman and her child? Will he protect his identity? Will he protect his identity or speak up for one who has been falsely accused? Later on, Valjean lives on the run. And he continues to face the choice. He has experienced grace. How will he respond? And he saves lives. He touches hearts. He raises a child that's not even his own. He responds to the grace that was offered to him in that moment, but he doesn't just respond once. He responds over and over and over and over again. And what he shows, my friends, is that in the face of tragedy, in the face of death, in the face of the threat of arrest and imprisonment, in the face of violence, he continues to show the grace that has been shown to him. Even to those who oppress him. As we consider the story of Jean Valjean in the epic of Les Mis, he shows that he can love those who do not love him. He shows that he will do good to those who do not do good to him. He loves his enemies. He does good. He lends expecting nothing in return. He doesn't judge. He doesn't condemn. He forgives. He gives. He lives. May we see in this example the opportunity for us to live fully and deeply if, with challenge, the grace of God that is offered to us all. And let us understand that we must face this choice over and over and over and over and over again. And to do so, to continue to choose grace, is to live as the children of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, I would like to invite you to do something tangible this week. I suspect that for many of us, maybe most of us, that there has been a recent time, maybe that we're still wrestling with, that we have to make a choice between the right thing and the easy thing. That we have to make a choice about whether or not we're going to respond with the same grace that has been shown to us. My invitation to you this week is to actively seek out what are you facing now, or what is the most recent thing that you have faced in that light? And how can you respond with grace? That's my invitation to you this week.